that are joining us. Let me say a couple things real quick for those of you tuning in. Next week's Mother's Day, and Nikki Weller will be speaking for us next week. Amen. And our saints, our local church loves it when Nikki speaks, and I love her so much. She has a sweet walk with Jesus, and she's amazing with the Word of God. One of the things I told her the other day, thank you for being a woman of the Word. Thank you for being a woman of faith. And you know what? So I want you, those of you that are tuning in, I want you to be sure and tune in next week and hear Nikki Weller. And you know what? There are moms that you know, and I'm speaking this to our local folk too. There are moms that you know, every mom needs to be celebrated. And you know what? We're going to celebrate moms next week. Because you know what? Jesus loves to celebrate people. Okay? I want to tell you something. Everybody needs to be valued. And you say, well, some don't go there. Because I want to tell you something. Jesus died for every single person. Yeah. And he considers every single person of value. As a matter of fact, his death for you proves how valuable you are. And so I want to say that even the lost of the lost, and I know that sometimes we have categories. I'm not sure God does on that. But I want to tell you something. Jesus considers the lost of the lost, he considers them precious coins. He considers them precious sheep. He considers them lost sons and daughters. And so you know what? It will be our joy, those of you tuning in, find some other moms. And, you know, you may have family coming next week, you know, and all that. You know what? Take a time out and let them see this message next week. Because it'll not only speak to moms, because since I know Nikki's heart, I can say this. And, you know, I don't think I've asked her exactly what she's speaking on because I trust her. But this is the thing. And you know what? I just want to give you some hope. She preaches shorter than I do. And there was a great move of faith throughout all the earth. But really and truly, I'm saying to you that this message, even though it's on Mother's Day, will speak to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations because she has a way of speaking to touch where you live to come walk with Jesus in a more personal way. And we need that. We need that. And I'll be here live in living color. And you know what? When she speaks, I take notes. And not only with Nikki, but any of the pastors here when they're preaching, I take notes because the Lord speaks to me. And I get concerned sometime when some people talk about that. And especially when I'm trying to minister to some big shots, sometimes big shots feel like they can only receive some big shots. They can only receive from big shots. Oh, man, I try to give them examples that, you know what, the Lord speaks to me through. The Lord speaks to me through grandmas and grandpas. The Lord speaks to me through little animals. Okay, I'm not talking about the Balaam donkey type thing. I'm talking about just the Lord has a way of touching and speaking to my heart, okay? He speaks to me through my wife. I'm saying that because there are some people that, you know, we try to share with them. You know what? Be sensitive to the impressions the Lord gives your wife. Because I've had some pastors say, well, she's biblically uneducated. Well, that's a problem, okay, but you know what? She may not know as much Bible as you, but I want to tell you, the Lord can speak to her heart, and you know what? There's wisdom that comes from people that the Lord's using, and it doesn't mean to swallow everything that comes down the pipe, but I'm just telling you, even I have some people speak into my life, and that's not fun, you know, but I speak into a lot of lives. And so it's right for me to have people invite people to speak into my life. And sometimes, and I tell them, look, you know, we're not trying to put on perfume or blow smoke. I need to hear the real stuff from you. Even if it's wrong, I need to hear it. Because you know what? It's important for me to take stuff and then take it to the Lord and say, Lord, what say ye? And I tell people the same thing. Look, I'm going to share some stuff with you. I love you. I may miss, but I'm sharing with you everything I got. And you know what? If the Lord doesn't confirm to you what I'm saying, if he doesn't give a green light or a check mark by it, then you know what? Flush it. All right? It may be a time later where it may speak to you. But I'm telling you, it's important for us to have a learner's heart, okay? To have a heart of humility. That you know what? Well, some people I'm going to receive from, some I won't. No, that's just wrong, wrong, wrong. Don't have that kind of pride about you, okay? Let's approach the Lord with great humility. And let's be a lifetime learner. And watch what the Lord will say to you, okay? And so we love to approach him in special ways. Okay. Well, that was a long intro to my intro. And my intro is not, I'm starting it right now. Okay. Let me give you a little picture, because we're doing a series on the secret of his presence, the power of his blood. And it's an amazing 1-2 combination. And we see that with the Ark of the Covenant, Tabernacle of David. We've shared a little bit. I've got a lot of fun stuff about the Ark of the Covenant, Tabernacle of David, that's coming up. Okay, but the Ark of the Covenant represents Jesus. It's a great picture of Jesus. And there's the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. You see it in this picture. There's the mercy seat there. We're going to refer to that today. Underneath the mercy seat, there's the tablets of the law. Okay, there was the pot of manna, and there was the rod of direction, the rod of authority. And I want to tell you, all of that represents the Lord's ways, but at the same time, it also represents the covering of the Lord. The mercy seat covers our rebellion against his word or against his leadership, okay? Our ungratefulness toward the manna, toward his blessings, okay? And you know what? The rejection of his word. And so I want to tell you, the mercy seat covers all that. And there's a big difference between law and grace, law and mercy, grace. And I want to tell you, I'm going to present that to you today, because it was the sin of Beth Lamesh. And I want to tell you, I touched on that last week. I'm going to wrap that up this week, because I've got other things to cover on it. But it's real important that we understand that the Lord has not designed us to live by law. Nothing wrong with law. Law is perfect. Law is holy. But law's not given to make us holy. And you cannot be perfect with it. As a matter of fact, it's given to show us that we need a Savior. It's given to show us that we cannot perform it. We cannot do it. Okay? Human, you cannot do this. And so it's designed to get you to need God. Lord, I can't. I need you. Oh, that's a win. All right? And so I just got to share this with you, that the sin of Beth Lamesh is that the guys, they opened up the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and they looked in at the law. God's never designed us to do that. He hasn't designed us to do that. That sin of Beth Lamesh is still happening in churches today, and Christians still do that. And so a bunch of them had died when they did that. It was a great slaughter. A bunch died. Because, and I'm going to get into that in just a little bit, but I just want to hurry up and say to you that when you look at the law, you fall from mercy and grace. Paul talked about it in New Testament. It doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. I've mentioned something like this in some other churches. Oh, Pastor, wait, you know. We don't lose our salvation. No, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about the life you live. You go from grace living to a form of death living. You go from grace life to a form of death life when you focus on the law and you disregard mercy and grace. I'm going to share with you an example how your pastor did this week. Yeah. Now, I focused on the law. You know what happened? Stress came. Because I want to tell you the difference between law and grace, mercy, all right? You ready? Law is demanding. Do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. That's law. Jesus' life is not about that. Jesus' life is about receiving his life, receiving his love, that he will write on your heart what he wants you to do and how you're supposed to live. And it's great grace. New Testament grace tells us, New Testament says that grace will teach you how to live. And so I'm telling you, what happens is this, is that when we are focused on law, the evidence of that is a form of death. Fear, anxiety, depression, stress. Those are forms of death. All right? The form of life, when our focus is on Jesus, the form of life is unlimited supply. Whatever you need, he's our unlimited supply. Do you see the difference in that? And so what happened to your pastor this week is I got overwhelmed by all the calls and the troubles of people and other pastors, and I got troubled by my own troubles, you know, and the pressure of the stress of schedule, because I just was not able to do everything that needed to be done, and I was under the pressure of it, and people were, you know, just, it got to me. You know why? Because that's what demand does. Demand comes from focusing on law, focusing on the do's and the don'ts. And I didn't measure up. I couldn't measure up. And you know what? I got mad at myself. Now, you know what? Can you believe that this happened? I actually raised my voice at our precious First Lady. Can you imagine that I would do such a thing? That I would come to such a place of demand and stress that I would raise my voice to our precious First Lady? I don't see a lot of shock in the building. Okay, let me go ahead and say this then. Can you believe that the First Lady raised her voice back at me? Now, I'm not going to testify about that part. I'm just going to mention it. Because you didn't seem to believe it, the other side of it. And you know what it was? It was me under the stress of demand, demand, demand. See, law demands. Grace supplies. Jesus. You know how you spell grace? J-E-S-U-S. You know what he is? He's our unlimited supply. Peace, joy, love, wisdom, patience. Are you with me? And I want to tell you, I walked out of that. You know why? It's not something God did to me. I focused on law, the pressure of demand, versus the beauty of supply. God never designed us as believers to live under the law. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you're not under the law. Romans 6:14, but you're under grace. And so let's keep grace on top of the law. Okay, so what is it in your life that you need? What is it that's broken? What is it that's lacking? Okay, what's causing you to stress, anxiety? What's causing you to fear? All right, because I want to tell you, here's the answer that we talk about, is just to let go and let God be God. When we are holding on to it, we're using our self-effort. Boy, you're going to hear about that today. When we're using our self-effort to try to make something happen, we're going to make it work. That's where stress, fear, and anxiety have a way of showing up, and it's evidence that we're not responding to grace. We have fallen from grace life to law life, which is some form of death. Depression, discouragement, okay? And so, this is very beautiful. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Boy, we got to do this real quick, too. And if you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, that's Old Covenant. New Covenant is this. It would read like this in New Covenant. If you believe the promises that I've written in my word for you. If you love the Lord, your God, and serve him with all your heart and soul. Old Testament says, You got to do it. New covenant says this, because Jesus is our supply. The difference is, Old Testament, you focused on your love for God. Now let me say again, it never measures up. Shows you that you need Him. It's to cause you to come running to Him. New covenant says this, we focus on His love for us. You see a difference? When you focus on His love for you and not your love for God. How many times have I been in churches? Nikki, you could say the same thing. Been in churches and say, we got to love God more. Love God more. You need to love God more. I tell you, you can get a response that way. Because it's demand, demand, demand. Because we never measure up. You know, there's always ways, you know, we need to love Him more. You know, we don't measure up to that. But I want to tell you a secret. When we focus on the grace and the mercy that Jesus is our supply, you focus on His love for you. That's what transforms you. Not your love for Him, His love for you. Now, when you focus on His love for you, guess what happened? There's transformation, and guess what? We love Him back. With the love He's loving us with, we love Him back. And you know what? We can love Him more than ever before in our life because we're receiving His love. That shows up in our life. We can love others in a greater divine love ever before because we're receiving of His love, and we can love with His love because that human love runs out in a hurry. Somebody say amen so I can move on. Okay, and guess what happened? So this is, it's by our believing that we receive New Testament. It's grace covenant. We believe and receive, not by our doing to get. We believe that we've received because of Jesus, and you know what? It shows up. It manifests. It changes our life. And look what the Lord loves to do. He loves to send the rains in the proper seasons, early rains and latter rains. Now, in the state of Texas, especially North Texas, East Texas, the wettest month of the year is May. We've noticed a little rain, haven't we? Yes, I've got a sprinkler off. Okay, but I want to tell you something. The Lord has a rainy season coming for you. Now, rainy season is not bad. It's good. He's speaking to an agrarian society. They needed the rain to start the harvest, to start the growth, to start what God was doing on the earth. And they needed the latter rain to finish what God was doing so that they could have the harvest. And so I want to tell you, God has set seasons. Would you listen to this? There's a season for our church of rain. Do you see it? Wait a minute. Keep your eye on Him because He's the weatherman. Keep your eye on the Lord because He's sending a rain season for your life. How about for your family? How about for your business? How about for your personal life? He sends rains. And you know what? Why? Because He loves to bless us with harvest. And when He speaks in, what is it, verse 14, of grain, new wine, and olive oil, I could preach on that all day. Because the grain represents, I'm telling you, His Word. The holy bread, His Word. He's got Word for you. Wisdom for you. When He speaks of new wine, it's talking about the new life. The new life of Christ, the vine life of Christ in your life. I'm telling you, it's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's boring. And when somebody comes and talks to me that they're bored Christian life, I'm saying, you're not drinking the new wine. Because that's Jesus' life. It's exhilarating and exciting. When it speaks of oil, it's talking about that anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself is an anointing to you. And He causes you to be what God wants you to be. He causes you to do what God wants you to do. And it's not by you, it's by Him. Not by your might, not by your power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And that way, I want to tell you, you can't say, put my picture on it, write my name on it. No, we get to say, it's Jesus. G-R-A-C-E. It's J-E-S-U-S. It's by Jesus. Somebody say amen. Okay. And so, verse 16, be careful now because anybody's heart can be deceived. This is one of the major ways of the enemy. He would love to deceive you. You know why? Because it causes you to stop in the flow. Because when you stop believing, you're not as actively receiving. See it? I mean to tell you, any day you can stop believing and things will start shutting down in your life. It's not because God quit loving on you, because you are rejecting grace, focusing on law, you're saying no to Jesus. I nearly got knocked down with that amen, but I'm going to keep preaching. But you know what? I want to tell you what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. The enemy loves to distract. And the enemy loves to depress. I use those three D's to describe that. And so what he wants to do is get you off track. And you know what? You'll start focusing on other gods. Okay? If you do, I want to tell you, now, Old Testament talks about the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and this is going to be the result. Let me tell you what happened on the cross. All of the burning, the righteousness, anger of God came on Jesus for you. Jesus took all the anger of God for your sin on him. And so you know what? He's not angry at you anymore. But I want to tell you something. This is very, very real. I want to tell you something. When you stop believing, you stop receiving. And I want to tell you what he put on the earth. And he says it in the latter verse, even in this section. I set before you blessing and cursing. And you know what? God has determined and declared he has blessed you. I'm looking at a blessed people. I'm looking at a forgiven people. I'm looking at a blessed people. I'm looking at what the Bible calls saints. And somebody will start laughing. You don't call me a saint. No, that's what God calls you. And if his word says it, it's true. We may not be practicing that, but that's your official position. And so I'm just announcing to you that he wants to bless you. But he's not going to bless you if you say no to it. He's going to hold back. All right? It's coming. It's got your name on it. But it's possible for you to refuse it. It's possible for you to resist it. It's possible for you to say no to God. It's possible for you to resist God. It's possible for you to limit God. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. And so it's possible if you decide to remove the grace and mercy and not be Jesus-centered and focus on yourself or focus on the law, for you to experience the manifestation of death while you live. Right? Okay. So, verse 18, and I'm just going to cover these couple verses, and I got to get on. But commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. That's the power of the word. Boy, that's what we preach. This is life to you. This is the holy bread. It's the power of the word in your life. And you know what he says? Tie them to your hands, wear them upon the forehead of your forehead as a reminder. You know, this is talking about meditation. Well, we preach about meditate on God in the Word. And deep dive, meditate on the Lord in the Word. It's the power of the Word. And I want to tell you what he does. He gives us the power to prosper. Okay? He becomes our success. And so when it says that tie them about your hands, I want to tell you, one of the problems that Christianity has is this. We'll say, okay, we'll hear in our mind. You know, we trust the Lord. We depend on the Lord. We cast all of our care upon the Lord. And we trust the Lord to do. And then when it comes to our hands, we'll say, wait, I'll do it, God. No. He's saying, tie it on your hands. In other words, it's not my works. I want it to be the Lord's works. I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm not going to do my own way or my own idea. Hey, think about Jesus. He said, these are not my works. These are the Father's works. These are not my words. These are Father's words. And he said, whatever I do is I see that this is what the Father's doing. And so there's a reason why the word needs to be on our hands. All right, don't let it be you or your strength, man's strength. Let it be the Lord. And we need to have the mindset. The Jesus mindset, okay, from the Word. Verse 19, teach them to your children. I go and speak other places, and sometimes, and it's a privilege, but sometimes the pastors, if I'm staying in their home or I'm there at night before I go back to the hotel, they'll say, hey, the kids, you know, going to bed, would you mind, let's do our devotional. Would you lead our family devotional. I say, great, you know, it's a privilege, it's an honor. And I respect families that do that. But that's not exactly what the word's describing to us in these verses. It's talking about as you get up, when you walk along the road, when you're sitting down in the house, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're rising up. In other words, it's an atmosphere that don't limit Jesus to a devotional with your family. Having a Sunday school moment with your family every day, that is not maybe the best idea of what he's talking about. What he's talking about this is that you live the life. You be full of the overflow of what God is saying in this word to you and what God's doing in your life. And as an automatic response to what God's doing, you talk about it. Talk about Jesus to your kids, to your little ones, to your older ones. You're continually pointing everything to Jesus. Guess what? It's important what you say. It's even more important what you live. So I want to tell you something. They're going to catch who you are. Do you see that? You understand it's possible to have a morning devotional and not walk with Jesus? We're talking about walking with them. We're talking about talking of them. But I want to tell you what your kids are going to capture. They're going to capture who you are. This is what it's speaking here. Write it on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I want to tell you, your house needs to be centered on Jesus. And if you got Jesus stuff on the walls, a beautiful blonde's got Jesus stuff on our walls, I love it. She knows our house is dedicated to the Lord. We had we did a ceremony before we even moved in. Lord Jesus, this is your house. And you know what? It's good. You know what? Let your household be about Jesus. What's the theme of your house? It need to be obvious that it's about Jesus. Look at the promise here. As long as the sky remains above the earth, I want to tell you. Hey, let's walk by grace, not by law. Let's walk in love life with Jesus. And you know what? Every day when you walk out and say, whoops, sky's still there, I want to tell you, it's happening today. If you can see the sky, you know God's on. And His promises are true for you. And look, as the sky remains above the earth, this is verse 21, and you and your children may flourish. Does that sound like blessing to you? Does that sound like success and victory to you? Well, that's God's heart for you. And He's promised to do that. That's all I got time for. I got more on that. Let's jump back to 1 Samuel 6:19 and see the sin of Beth Shemesh. Because they looked into the ark, 1 Samuel 6:19, they looked into the ark at the law. They bypassed the mercy seat, the grace, the mercy seat. And he slew 70 of them. Some of the old Hebrew writings refer to 50,000 plus 70. Whatever it was, even if it was 70, if it was one of your men, it was a great slaughter. But the Bible says it was a great slaughter. And it was. God slew some of the men. Because they removed the mercy seat and looked into the ark. Hey, look, we can do that with overfamiliarity. Okay? Sometimes I see this in churches. I'm not talking about here. I see it in churches sometimes. I go in and one of the things I do is I honor the pastor. I honor the pulpit. That's a very important thing to do. And I honor the pastor in that church and I celebrate him before the people. And I encourage the people, love on them as much as you can, pour it on them. But sometimes, you know, I'll hear people say some little remarks. Oh, it's just old Pastor John. You know, it's just Pastor John. Well, I want to tell you, that's a motion of disrespect. That's a motion of dishonor. That's a hint of disesteem. And I want to tell you something. It's possible for us to come to the place in such familiarity that we overlook or we take lightly the things of God. We disrespect the Word of God. or His presence or His purpose. Take it lightly. Well, I want to tell you, the people of Beth Shemesh, they'd say, don't you dare do that. Romans 1:21 speaks of it, because when they knew and recognized Him as God, they did not honor and glorify Him as God. Now, okay, this is an important question, because this becomes personal. It's possible for a family to do this, possible for a church to do this, a business to do this, but I'm speaking to you individually. Are you honoring and glorifying God in a way that honors Him, that He's worthy of? Because we're to esteem Him. We're to honor Him. We're to glorify Him. Because if we don't, then I want to tell you, it's a direction away from God when we begin to take God for granted. We take God for granted. We'll take people for granted. We'll take leadership for granted. We'll take our wives for granted. Our husbands for granted. Are you listening? But listen to this. They did not honor and glorify God or give Him thanks. Are you thankful? I mean, this is what honor and glorify, I want to tell you, the action to that is thanksgiving. If you honor and glorify the Lord, you're going to be a person of thanksgiving. If you're not in continual thanksgiving, I mean, the Bible says to give thanks always. If you're not in a continual thanksgiving mode, then why? Because I want to tell you, it can be a dangerous direction. You know, well, it's no big deal. The Lord knows I'm thankful. If I change my mind, I'll tell Him. No, that'd be like telling your wife when you know, I told you I loved you when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll... Come on now. I want to tell you, it's an expression of love to give thanks. So if you're loving on the Lord, if you're loving Him back, you're thankful. And you're going overboard with thanksgiving, because love is extravagant. All right, I hope you see that. Okay, they didn't give thanks. And look what happens next. See, this is a regression. And instead they became futile and godless in their thinking. You're thinking, you're not thankful, you're not esteeming the Lord, honoring, glorifying God in your heart, you're not practicing thanksgiving to Him, then I want to tell you, one of the first things that comes up is reasoning in your mind starts going the other direction. You get some crazy ideas about stuff that's not Bible. Man, do we ever deal with that? They become futile and godless in their thinking. How does it show up? Vain imaginings. Hey, listen, like we tried to help one pastor. He didn't let us help him. But one pastor would say, well, I think, or I'm at the place. No, wait a minute. What does God say? You completely forgotten about what God says about this. You're not called to feel, think, and no, you're called to say what God says. Foolish reasoning. Well, why did you do that for? Well, I just felt like, you know, other people are doing it. I felt like, you know, it's probably the thing to do. It was the easiest thing to do. No, man. Foolish reasoning. How about stupid speculations? Well, I'm not real sure what I am today. Stupid speculations. Now, I want to tell you, see, this is a regression. You know what happens next? Would you listen to this? Their heart becomes darkened. Their mind becomes dark. Do you know what? Hey, going your own direction, the way of the world, away from God, you're going to get darker and darker and darker. Say, well, just a little time. No, time don't heal. Jesus does. But this is what they did. They removed the mercy seat and looked at the law. No man can look at the law and live the life of grace and mercy. God said, take the law, put it under the mercy seat. Put the blood on top. See, this is what God has chosen to do. He applied the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was applied to the holy mercy seat in heaven. And so when He looks at you, He chooses not to view you as the breaker of the law. Can anybody shout over that? He chooses to view you in not rebellion to His authority. Can anybody shout over that? That's because of Jesus. He chooses not to see or hear you speak evil or complaining against His blessing. He sees and hears you through Jesus. Wow. So, even New Testament, see, Paul brings this out, that When you remove the mercy seat and try to live by the law, you fall from grace life to a form of death. Manifestations of death. Do you want life or death? Grace and mercy are above the law. Do you see that? I mean, that's in the Ark of the Covenant. You can see grace and mercy are above the law. The law was given by Moses. 3,000 people died. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. 3,000 people were saved. On the day of Pentecost. You see the difference between life and death? Well, if you're trying to justify your journey by the law, Christ has become no effect to you. You say, oh, come on, Papa T, I'm pretty strong. I'm just saying what Paul said. But it's true. Don't focus on the law. You'll fall from grace. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about your living. You walk away from grace living. You choose to reject grace living. To law living. Grace is higher living. If you've fallen from grace, it's a form of death. Now the Pharisees, they had problems in this because they would boast in the law. They would pride themselves in their self-righteousness, and that's where law goes. Self-righteousness. And look, they were around Jesus. I mean, they showed up at his teachings. They were around Jesus and they needed a Savior. They were weary and burdened of failure. Okay? They're burdened of failure. And I want to tell you, because I know I get to preach in some places where there's some Pharisees. You say, oh, are they still alive? Yeah, they're there. Yeah. Phariseeism is still alive. And they get burdened by a sense of personal failure. They don't admit it or see it on the outside. But it's happening on the inside. Okay? And I just want to say this to you. They get exhausted at self-elevation because it's like they are a politician. They're always continually trying to convince everybody about how spiritual they are, how holy they are. And it's a lie. As a matter of fact, what Paul brings out is that the law ignites the drive of sin. Okay? Law ignites the drive of sin. It's like putting wood on a fire. They pretend to be holier than they really are. That's what Jesus nailed them on. Okay? It was about living a lie, wearing a mask, calling themselves better than other sinners. And I don't know if you remember me preaching about the precious little guy that was lowered from the roof. But he had friends that believed for him. And Jesus acknowledged and honored their faith. And he was lowered from the roof. Well, one of the things that I brought out was that it's very clear in Scripture because the Bible says that the presence of the Lord was there to heal them. Healing was present. But only one of them got healed. Only one got healed. Now, you know, this is Tim talk. I wasn't there. I didn't interview the Pharisees. But I can guarantee you what the deal was is that there was Pharisees there that needed to be healed. They didn't get healed. Only one got healed. They didn't receive healing. Let me jump on this wagon because I'll probably get an amen on this and I'm not preaching for amens. But it goes something like this. They all needed to be forgiven. They all needed a Savior. Okay? And none of them received. Why? Self-righteousness. Trying to be justified by the law causes you to refuse grace. Okay? Causes you to receive grace. Refuse grace. So I'm just saying to you, you know, we love to see people healed. Well, we have an amazing testimony in our body of someone being healed just recently. You know, we love it when doctors say, we can't find it. You know. And they've got a term they use for it, you know. Spontaneous remission. We call it Jesus. Okay, amen. But I want to tell you, healing is a grace expression. You've heard us talk about a miracle is an expression of God's love. It's not of your works. It's not you getting good enough to receive it. It's by grace, lest any man should boast. And so back to David. Okay, are you ready? When David tried to do the God-honoring event of bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, back to Zion, he tried to do it the world's way, and it ended up in death. His name, the guy's name that reached up because the oxen stumbled and the ark began to tilt, and he reached up. The man's name that reached up and touched the ark to try to steady it died immediately. You know what his name? Uzzah. You know what his name means? Man's strength. Wow, that needs to speak to us. I'm telling you, the names have meanings, you know. And it really is the rabbis that really helped me understand this and begin to look at this. But sometimes it gives sweet revelation to me just to see what the names mean. And for example, in the Valley of Achor, Achor, this is Hosea 2:15. He says, in the Valley of Achor, I will open the door of hope. Well, that didn't really speak to me until I saw in Hebrew that Achor means trouble. Well, now that speaks to us. 2024. That speaks to us because what God's saying, in your valley of trouble, this speaks. In your valley of trouble, I will open a door of hope. Is that great news? In the middle of your trouble, I can say it like this because of what Bible says. This is God's heart. His goodness is on the way. Look for it. Give thanks for it ahead of time because before it manifests, because by faith we express thanks already because it's already there. There's hope. The door's there. And hope's the positive expectation of God's goodness in your future. And so soon and very soon, there'll be rescue and breakthrough. And so what do? Well, we go ahead and mark off a spot and have a Thanksgiving break, a Thanksgiving praise break. God is turning your valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, into a valley of blessing, Baraka. And so David copied the world's way and put the ox on the cart pulled by oxen. Death came. Uzzah. Man's strength. Death comes. You see that? Do you wonder why so many believers are burnt out? Why so many ministers have quit the ministry? And I want to tell you, by your own strength, it ain't happening. Only by his strength. Well, Papa T, wait a minute. The Philistines did it. Yeah, they put the ark on a cart with two milk cows. You remember me talking about that in the other sermon? But I want to tell you something. They were not God's people. They didn't know God's way. And that's why that we actually have to tell believers sometime, well, you can't say that the world's doing it and they get away with it. The Bible says don't even look at them. They're temporary. They're like a flower in the Texas summer that comes up and then it burns away. But I want to tell you, we're not to look at them because I want to tell you, they don't know God's way. But I want to tell you, believers belong to God. We have the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to not only do what God says, but we're supposed to say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, how do you want me to do this? That's very important to the Lord. And believers are exposed. I had to tell a couple men this year that, you know what, listen, guy, I know that the world has a other one. You know what I mean? A girlfriend. An other one. There's even word for it, language for it. I know it's common to the world to have another one. God's not going to let you get away with it. He will expose you. All right? I actually had a person well known. I won't mention it. It was years ago. But some of you would know him. And we were friends. And I was interviewing him on Christian TV. And we were friends. And later on that day, he said, you know, I've kind of been, you know, messing around a little bit. I said, no, man, you can't do that. He said, hey, this is what he told me. He said, I'm too smart. They'll never catch me. I said, let me tell you something, man. The Lord knows. And he can expose you, and he will. He said, well, he hadn't done it yet. I said, don't you dare accuse God of winking at your sin. I said, according to the Bible, the only reason you haven't been exposed so far is that he's given you time to repent. But I want to tell you something. He will expose you. He said, well, are these other? I said, no, it ain't about them. You belong to him. They can get away with it. They don't belong to him. I'm telling you, the Philistines got away with sending the ark on an ox cart. They didn't know any better. They didn't belong to God. But I want to tell you, God's people belong to him. He's given instruction. And he wants you to do what he wants his way. Not your way. Not with man's strength, but by depending on him. And so, the purpose of your life is to bring him honor and glory. To live for him, not yourself. It's your reasonable service, according to the Bible. So it's unreasonable. See, I take that and turn it around because it's true. It's unreasonable for you to live a selfish, self-serving, self-pleasing lifestyle. It's unreasonable. To fall from grace means living into a miserable, low condemnation living is death to you. It's a lower form of life than what Jesus paid for. The Philistines didn't know any better. People of God do. We're to seek God's will, his way, through his word. God expects us to seek him and to be a lifetime follower. You know what? Follow him. That's what walking is following him. We're here on this earth to live that life, honoring him. Watch out, Uzzahs! It's man's strength and man's power. I know the Israelis developed a weapon in the 1950s that I still admire. It's called the Uzi. And it's called the weapon of strength. Well, you know, they got that from Uzzah, man's strength. Now, if you put God's name on the end of it, and you can with the Ah, Jehovah Ah, use the Ah means strength of God. But Uzzah put out his strength and died. I want to tell you, ministries die, ministers quit, believers give up because they try to live the Christian life with their own strength. And you just can't do it. Preachers are famous about speaking that salvation is just by grace. But then they turn around on the next page and say, but your holiness is by you. Your holiness is not by you. If you try to become holy by the law, then I want to tell you, it ignites sin, wood on a fire. And I want to tell you, you find out real quick, I can't do it. And it causes some people to live a fake Christian life. I can't tell you how many people I've ministered to that say, well, I really can't, and I really got all this going on. But I just kind of walk, put on the mask. Kind of walk through the routine. Because that's what everybody else is doing. No, they're not. There are real people that really connect with the grace of Jesus, with the love life of Jesus, and the Lord gives them power to transform. And so, don't get me wrong, we're against sin. God is too, because sin's destructive. But some folk are nervous about grace because they say, you know, and I have some pastors that have told me, you know, you got to put a little law in there somewhere, brother. No, we really don't. Because law is going to cause problems. He never designed you for that. That's not the love response to God, is to say, well, you know, by grace I can do whatever I want to. I was in a meeting one time when a pastor said, well, this brother is committing adultery, but he's free. I said, no, wait. Time out. He's not free. He's not free to sin. Right? And so, you know, the love response to God through grace is this. He's loved me. I'm going to love him back. You see, it's not because of a rule or regulation that the beautiful blonde's given me when I travel that I don't mess around. It's my love for her. I don't want to disappoint her. I don't want to discourage her. I don't want to hurt her. But I want to tell you, it's my divine love for her that makes me want to honor her. That would dishonor her. It's my love for the Lord that causes me to want to honor him. I want to love him back with my life. Do you see that? It's not because of a rule. I don't have to, when I'm traveling, open up this rule list. Now, what am I free to do here? No. Okay? Grace, truth will set you free. and grace will train you not to sin. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, let me finish with this, because it's time. The law is the strength of sin. We know that the sting of death is sin. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. The strength of sin is the law. And the Bible says, sin shall have no dominion over you. That's Romans 6:14. Because you're not under law, but under grace. And so I want to tell you, I know that every parent wants their kids to experience the freedom of Christ and to walk in the holiness of the Lord. I know every pastor, true shepherd, wants his people to experience the freedom and liberty of the Lord and walk in the holiness of the Lord. That's the heartbeat. But I want to tell you, if you're trying to do it by your own flesh or according to the law, you will miss, because the law's given to cause you to run to Him. But by grace, you're set free. By grace, you're strengthened. By grace, you're enabled. Do you see that? That's what He does. To walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you're trying real hard to do it with your own strength, that's why we find exhausted, miserable, failing, pretending Christians. They may not be publicly failing right now, but I want to tell you privately, they're a mess. And I'm not sharing any names or throwing any Bibles at anyone, because some of them have had bigger impact for Jesus than I have. And I respect that. I really do. But there are some, and I'm telling you, maybe some on TV. I have to say that because I've been there and rubbed elbows with them, that there are some that seem so super spiritual and that they have it all together on the outside. But understand, there are some believers that are wearing masks, that are pretending, that are living a lie. And they have some very serious, scary skeletons in dark closets. Very struggles of darkness. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is the answer for them, just like He's the answer for you. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. And so I'm telling you, that's why that we got to remain Jesus-centered. That's why we got to walk in the love life. Because when you're walking in the love life and you walk out of love, it's obvious. When you're walking in the peace of Jesus and you walk out of peace, it's obvious. It's an alarm going off. And you can adjust and get right back in line. Because we walk by grace. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by grace, not by law. Is anybody getting that? Okay, let me pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, thank You that the answer is grace. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You can cause us to rest in You, that You can teach us how to wait on You and to receive Your love, Your passion, Your faith, Your peace, Your power. We can recognize Your presence, how strong and mighty that is, that You are our righteousness. You're our identity. You're our acceptance. You're our confidence. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You cause us to be strong, to live the Christian life through You, in You, by You, that we can honor You with Your love, Your strength, and Your power. You're our grace, and we can live through Your strength. And so, Lord Jesus, we just bless Your holy name. I pray that the eyes and the ears of our hearts will be open, Lord, that we might not commit the same sin that these guys did and experience death, that we won't remove grace and mercy and look at law, that we'll walk by grace, we'll walk in Your Spirit, and we'll walk in Your life flow. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for who You are in our life. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen and amen. Okay.